Mondays and Fridays, we get with two great guys, Hall of Famer Mike Ditka this morning from Bristol, Connecticut. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Really good.
Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas.
Stevie.
Well, Johnny went to the Saints and Bears game yesterday. First question, how was security? They were supposed to really ramp it up. Could you tell?
That wasn't that noticeable. Did a little more padding. Didn't affect us at all from my end. So not bad, Steve. Not bad at all.
All right, a good football game, Mike. The Saints beat the Bears, I thought, convincingly.
Very convincingly. The Bears are evidently looking for an identity, and I think the Saints are true to a degree, but I thought the Saints defense really, really befuddled them. And the Bears aren't very good on with the offensive line. So, you know, they're struggling. They're going to struggle week to week, I think. One week they'll be good, one week they'll be bad. I think when they do the right things and protect the quarterback, I think they'll be pretty good. But if they don't, they're going to be in trouble.
I thought the Saints maybe they're better than I thought, Mike, but I thought the Bears started out on defense real well, and I thought the Bears would win that game because of the way they played against Atlanta, who also was struggling on their offensive line, by the way, but finished strong in their game. But I tell you what, it was a good game. It's really noisy. It's hard. I thought Cutler played okay. I did think he got pressured, and they got to him on a couple of blitzes, but I thought he did okay. And then the thing with Urlacher is interesting. Mike, you know where we go through with the general aviation at Atlantic at New Orleans Airport. He had three planes coming out of Mexico. I guess the funeral was down in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Several of the defensive guys were with him, and I think that might have broke up the routine a little more than I thought it would have. But I thought they played okay on defense. The Saints were just playing a great game, and I don't know what you do to stop Drew Brees and Peyton when he's calling those plays right. I don't know. Well, they have a good offense.
You hit it right on the button. If you're not pressuring Drew Brees and knocking him down, same as Tom Brady, then you're not going to be effective. Drew Brees is too good, and he's got too many weapons. And even with the guys he had hurt, I thought his use of the tight end was very good. I picked Henderson as the guy I thought would be the breakout player because, you know, he's going to go to him in a situation. Macklin play. I mean, they did a good job. And Sean does a great job of really calling plays and setting up the defense for what he wants.
I tell you what, Joe Buck shared a story on Fox yesterday during that broadcast, Mike, and he mentioned you and how Sean Payton came to you and because he did play for you a long time ago for the Bears, and he thanked you for essentially getting him onto his life's work, figuring out that he wasn't going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Well, John's a very good coach. I mean, he's an outstanding coach. You know, he really probably got his tutelage under Bill Parcells. But, yeah, he was a quarterback for me in that strike year and all that. And, he was a good college player. I'll leave it at that.
Well, he's a better coach without Reggie. I'll tell you, he keeps that rhythm going. And when Reggie was playing for the Saints, I always thought he came in with these wild plays for Reggie that sometimes backfired and kind of took us out of our rhythm. But, yeah, I thought they were good. But, Mike, you mentioned Tom Brady. As good as he's been, I don't think I've ever seen him play like this. I don't know what you do with that. You watch that.
I think, first of all, it's Brady. I think it's the receiving core. I think it's the way they get mismatches. I think their coaching staff does an outstanding job. I mean, my God, they're using these tight ends, and they're ringing up touchdowns left and right. And these guys are not; these aren't tight ends. They're power forwards in the NBA. So you're talking about guys who are 6'5", 6'7", 260 pounds that can run, catch, and jump. So now you've got so many mismatches, it's crazy. And they pride themselves. Belichick will get more mismatches than any coach in football.
And so how do you beat Tom Brady besides maybe blitz, but then you get burned, but somebody's got to hit him.
Knock him down. If you don't knock him down, you will not beat him. And what they're getting better at now, they're getting better at reading the defenses, and when they know where that pressure can come from, you've got to get rid of that ball before you can knock him down. Now, if you can get to him and knock him down, you're going to hurt their offense. There's no question about it.
Another quarterback who played well yesterday, Matt Ryan with Atlanta, they were struggling.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, he took over on a hurry-up offense, kind of Peyton Manning deal, and he just killed them. Boom, boom, boom. And ended up winning the game against the Eagles, who had lost Michael Vick.
Michael Vick with a concussion. Boy, an odd-looking thing against his own player. It looked like he really hurt his neck. But he's got a concussion, and they think he'll be okay. But the NFL, their new concussion rules, he'll have to pass a series of tests to get back in there, I guess.
Right.
But Michael Vick doesn't play defense. Guys, they lost that game with their defense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's right.
I give Matty Ryan all the credit in the world. I thought he really showed a lot of courage and toughness, hung in there and made the plays, but they lost that game because of their defense, period.
All right, Rams and Giants tonight. What do you see in that one, Mike? I know you'll be on ESPN this evening.
Well, you got a lot of guys hurt on the Giants football team right now. This is a win they have to have, but in saying that, you know, I think I really like what the Rams were doing. I thought they were building a pretty good defense. The young quarterback, I think he's going to be a good football player. Again, he has to keep himself healthy. Bradford, I think he's a very good football. Got some good receivers, got a good running back. I kind of like the Rams to go in there and get the 1-1.
Wow.
All right, Steve, that's an interesting call there. I know the Rams could use it, but is Bradford playing, Mike, or not?
Well, if he's not playing, then I would change that in a hurry, but I think he is playing.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, we're still buzzing in Champaign for the newly ranked Fighting Illini. They are number 24 in the Associated Press poll after defeating Arizona State in a beautiful Saturday night game with ASU grad Phil Mickelson on the sidelines, Johnny.
Well, good.
he was at Cog Hill playing in the BMW and flew down for the game, whatever he did.
We should have got him to play nine, Mike.
You could... Mike would have shown him how to play golf. That's for sure. All right, let me move to politics at 7:41. The president in a few hours will make his proposal on how to balance this whole deficit deal. Included here is at least $1.5 trillion in new taxes. I facetiously and sarcastically suggested if that's all they have is to go after people that are doing a little bit better, class warfare, then let's start the children early and take A's away from the good kids and give them to the kids not making A's and balance it all out in schools. It'd be the same darn philosophy, Mike.
Well, you know, this is the Warren Buffett theory, and Buffett brought this stuff. If Buffett wants to stay in the country, tell him to give all his money to the government. Who cares? The other night, he should keep his mouth shut. Now, there are too many loopholes in the tax system, and we've talked about that. You want to fix the tax system? Fix it. You want to go to a flat tax? Everybody pays their fair share. And what is your fair share? If it's 15%, if it's 20%, everybody pays it. So, therefore, if you get rid of all the loopholes, you get rid of all the escape clauses for people who are doing this, then you've got a better chance of balancing your budget. But if you're going to mess around and say this and this, and we're going to take it from him and give it to him, it's not going to work that way, guys. It's just not going to work. Now, he can say anything he wants to, and he said a lot of things already on the jobs bill and everything else. It's not going to work unless you understand that we are a nation of people, and every person has to pull their fair share. They have to pull and pay their fair share. There is nobody can be left out. I don't care what you do. You make a dollar a day, you pay 10 cents, period. But it
well,
was matter with
and inherently, okay, first of all, just I think... first of all, they don't need $1.5 trillion in new revenue as badly as they need to cut $1.5 trillion in wasted money. Wasted, and we all know they're wasting money just beyond our ability to understand. But also, Steve, that's not going to work. The more you take, it's like sawing the branch you're sitting on off. And the more you take money, oh, I guess I'd be rich. So he's going to take my money. I can't build anything or hire anybody because I gave it to him. And they've got money. They're sending it all over the place. We're developing programs for people inside and outside the country we don't have money for that aren't working, that you get 20 cents on the dollar for, and getting more money from the people who are driving the economy, whatever economy we have, is not a good idea. And the Republicans actually have a point with that philosophy. That won't work. But I'm glad to see you trying to think of something. So you just need to... that's not going to work, but keep thinking, Mr. President.
Well,
he's been on vacation.
It's all this us against them and anxiety and envy. And boy, that's pretty much their plan, is to say, see, they just favor the rich. Look at them. That's what they got. That's their plan.
Well, I don't know if they have any other way to get votes. And so that's that's too bad for us, and I think we've got to change direction, and I don't like that approach, that very political approach. And Mike, I don't think we've got $1.5 trillion extra, to be honest.
It's not the American way. So you're trying to change this whole system. It's been going on for throughout history. We've set a system up. Now what's happened? We got government involved in every aspect of our life. It shouldn't be involved. We got more regulations on everything. The government's involved in everything. Get out of it. You want to simplify the tax code? Do it. But do it for everybody. And if you want to charge those people who are making over $1 million 25% or 30% instead of 10%, everybody else, fine. That's not going to kill anybody. But when you start saying, okay, because you're successful, you're going to be punished. You're going to take initiative away from people to succeed in our country, which will defeat a lot of things, including businesses.
And many of the Americans pay absolutely nothing, and probably too large a percentage, because I think it's just like anything.
Why should anybody pay nothing? Whether you have it or you don't have it, why should anybody get away with paying nothing? So if that's what our IRS is all about, go get those people, rich and poor. They have to pay something. It costs to live in our country. It costs for the services they get. If they don't understand that, move to France, move to Paris, move to England, move anywhere else.
They've got, and we've tried this in some other areas, this philosophy of centralized government that provides for all, and it doesn't really work or make anybody very happy. So, yeah, it's the same old story, Steve, and yeah. It's just now I think it's pretty clear. It's one philosophy versus the other, one side against the other, which is too bad if you like to think of ourselves as one America, but... That's politics, too, and I don't see that changing.
All right, Palestinians demand statehood. The U.S. Obviously wants to be very cognizant of Israel. It's a big deal to U.N. extra security in New York City. I don't know what's going to happen there. I guess USA is threatening to cut off aid to Palestinians if they move forward with this. But, again, we're talking about dynamics here of a peace deal, elections coming up, Johnny. It's... I don't know what's going to happen with this because the president's going to have to take a stand. Is he going to support this Palestinian statehood through the UN, or is he going to demand that the Israelis and Palestinians meet and talk peace again?
Well, that's a good question. The UN may vote for it, and then I think the U.S. is going to veto it on the Security Council.
Well, the Palestinians say if you veto it, peace is off. We're not talking anymore.
Well, I don't know, Mike. That's been a tough problem for a long time.
That would scare the hell out of me if I was an American and the Palestinians threatened me. Wow. You want to flex your muscles, flex them at the right people. But, I mean, why? First of all, why are we giving money to the Palestinians anyway? For what reason? For any what?
$500 million, Mike. $500 million.
Why would we do that?
Yeah. I encourage them to seek peace, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Keep peace, forget it. Forget it. They want to mess around, Israel will stomp them. Believe me, I hate to talk this way, but somebody's got to use common sense. Guys, don't let people bully you around, threaten you when they don't have the power to do anything.
Well, I tell you.
How many years have they been messing with this, Johnny? About how many hundreds of thousands of years?
Well, it goes back several thousand years.
Right. So. All right, let's take our break. 7:48. We'll be right back. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka in just a few moments. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We are back with Mike and Johnny. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, and Brother Johnny, who's in Houston this morning, adjunct professor and member of the National Academy of Sciences. Baseball still going on. Mike, the Cardinals are only 3.5 out in the wild card. It looks like the Phillies are your best team in baseball. Yankees probably not far behind. But some interesting races here as we wind it down.
Well, I don't know. I think it comes down to pitching staffs at this time of year. I don't think anybody has a pitching staff like the Phillies. You said that. And you're right. The Cardinals have closed the gap. You know, Tampa Bay's closed the gap. Boston's taking a big step backwards. But, you know, the Yankees are struggling, too. Their pitching staff isn't what it could be or should be. And I think they're going to have some problems. So when you start looking around, if those teams that have the best pitching staff, and I thought Boston did, but they don't evidently. So, you know, you look around. You know the Phillies do, so whoever else has a good pitching staff, they're going to be the team to beat.
And, Johnny, Tampa Bay is just two games out trying to make the wild card in baseball. They were 10 out September 2nd. This would be the greatest collapse of all time in baseball if Boston doesn't hold on. And, Mike, when you have a team 11 out of 14 on the loss side, how do you get your guys, I mean, to refocus and redo? They're professionals, but they're in a slump.
But you're right, and it's baseball, and it's, you know, you have the fielding, you're going to have the pitching. You know, everything has to come together. You know, you might get a pretty good pitch game, and all of a sudden a guy hits a home run. You're down 3-1, and you can't get back in it. Nobody can get a hit on the other side, on your side. So, and it's what's going on right now with Boston. They're too good a team to have this happen, but it's happening.
Well, Steve, we're down here in Houston, Texas. We should hit the century mark this week where we'll have lost 100 games.
No, I think you passed that already, Johnny. The Astros have lost 100 games already.
Yeah, I was watching the Saints. That's right. I was out of town.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you know what? The Cardinals close in Houston could be very important. It can't be a lot of fans going to the Astros game these days.
Well, they're not very good, Mike. The Cardinals will beat the Astros. They're just not very good at what they're doing.
I don't know about that. You know, they're good enough to beat the old Cubbies, so.
Hey, by the way, Mike, I tell you what. If the Cubs are faced with hiring a new general manager, and inevitably they'll get a new manager with that, will there be hope on the north side for next year for Chicago?
It's got to be important. You got to stop it started. Cut it down to nothing and start building with what you have, a few guys that you have. All these so-called guys, well, you got to have them. But I'll say one thing about it. Seems like anybody they get rid of, when they go somewhere else, they play a lot better.
Yeah.
I think Mike would be a great baseball general manager.
We have that going on, Mike. We'd have put you in there as the general manager of the Cubs. You'd be the only human to ever win a Super Bowl and a World Series. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, that's, I'll tell you one thing. They're grossly overpaid, those guys. They ought to back up for their checks.
Oh, I tell you, it's fun to watch because baseball, when it gets to this point of the year, is fun to watch. And call it.
But now you're talking about the best of the best. You're talking about the cream of the crop. You're talking about the teams who have earned the right to get to the playoffs and on to the World Series. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, and one other thing about college football, Johnny, is you know the texture of college and pro, boys that night and day. Wow.
Just faster. I mean, it's just a lot faster at the pro level, and you can't take as much time thinking. I've been surprised Cam Newton's done as well as he has. They've lost the games, but he has had some pretty good games for the, you know, walking off the college football field and onto the pro. What do you think about that, Mike? Because I think they could really confuse those younger guys a lot more than Newton seems to be confused.
He's had better than a few good games. This guy has been unbelievable.
Wow.
He's going to make mistakes. This guy is a big, tall, strong, very accurate thrower, throws the ball over the top, doesn't run to run. He runs to throw, and when he can run, he can run. Exceptional athlete. I like the kid a lot. I like the way he handles himself. Are they a good team right now? But they're getting to be a better team. And when they get a little bit better, this team's going to beat some people at the end of the year. Going to shock people. He is a good footballer. You got to stay healthy. That's the other point.
Then you talk about what Steve alluded to, the difference between college and pro, and to be able to do even what he's doing in his first two games, that's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
Hard to do.
Seeing a rookie come out and perform that well that quickly. And they're very competitive with the Packers.
Well, look, that's in our division. I'm not liking it, actually. I'm not liking what I'm seeing out of Cam Newton.
Well, we'll leave it there, gentlemen, but we'll talk again on Friday, and we'll get together. Always a pleasure. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, thank you again so much.
All right, Mike, we'll be watching today and tonight, and good luck.
We'll watch you on ESPN tonight, Mike. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, appreciate their time. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. You'll catch Mike on ESPN tonight, the pregame. He'll be all over it. And it looks good, sounds good. Guy, unbelievable schedule.
Yeah.
The way he flies around, goes from here to there. And he's by far the senior citizen on that panel. He's the really only guy from that generation, that genre, that had his insights. Only working guy, I think, from that era. John Madden retired. And certainly Mike has done a great job, and ESPN loves him. He'll be on tonight. You can catch him on the TV. All right, 7:57. More coming up in our next hour. And now our high school team of the week.
talk about a statement game. The Mohammed Seymour Bulldogs are the Stevie J Broadcasting Team of the Week after dominating Pontiac 50-7 in a battle of undefeated Corn Belt Conference football.